Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. We will answer in this segment, when does life actually begin? And to start that, we have to see that man and woman are special creations of God. So let's see what he says when he made man and woman. Let's see that we are on a very high level and why God made us the way that he has made us. And when, with offspring, does life begin? Well, as we will see with Adam and Eve, life began when God breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. So let's begin right here in Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth. Now, how's that for generosity? The whole earth for mankind. And God created man in his own image. Think of that. That's why there's no such thing as evolution. They find no parts between fossils, between species. It is a figment of the imagination. Man's place in the creation of God is very highly exalted. And a great purpose that God has for mankind is very important. So I want you to go to our whole series we have, Why Were You Born? In the image of God, he created him. He created them male and female. Now, he didn't create Adam and Alex and Eve and Ethel. They can't produce children. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Have lots of children. Why? Now you need our book, God's Plan for Mankind, revealed by his Sabbath and his holy days. Now if that sounds rather strange to you, you need it all the more, because when you get it, it will blow your mind as to how far off the Christianity of this world is concerning the purpose of mankind and God's plan. God has a great plan. That's why he made us in his image, told us we have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of heaven, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Now we come here to chapter 2, and we get the details on how God formed Adam. He formed him with his own hands. Now this becomes very important to understand. Verse 7, then the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, God put into Adam, as well as Eve, all the genes and chromosomes necessary for all the human race. Now, to go through why they sinned and all of those things, we have other segments on that, so I'm not going to go through that. We're going to come ahead 3,000 years to the book of Psalms, when King David, 3,000 years later, gave this psalm. Let's come to Psalm 8. David went out and he looked at the universe, and he said, verse 1 here, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. All right, come down here to verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Now listen to this. This is quite a fantastic statement that tells us why God made us the way he made us, and why we reproduce with husband and wife, male and female, the way that we do. Verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you care for him? For you have made him a little lower than God. And that is the proper translation. Yes, we are lower than angels, that's true. And have crowned him with glory and honor, gave us the whole earth, just to summarize that. Now, let's understand something about man. Why he is so special, man and woman. And it's what God gave to us when he created us. Now, Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Ultimately, the flesh alone profits nothing. Without the Spirit, and we're going to see that the Bible talks about and shows why we are special and individual above everything else that God has created because of what is called the Spirit of man. And that is the key, because it is the Spirit that gives life. Now let's come here to Job chapter 32. Now this tells us something about what God has done. And it was known back in the days of Job, which were about 1700 B.C. Job 32 and verse 8. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. Now let's also understand about the spirit in man. Verse 4, chapter 33. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. We are formed by the spirit of man, which comes from God. Now, what else does this do to us? So, understand this. We're made in the likeness and image of God, male and female. And the Spirit of God, through procreation, gives life to all new life in the womb. And then causes the genes and chromosomes to develop into another human being. But this Spirit that we have is instrumental in being human. It gives us thought, it gives us intellect, we have emotions, we have feelings, we can think of things in the abstract, we can invent, we can design, we can think of time ahead, we can think of time behind, and this gives us the intellect of what we are, see? Now, let's come to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and let's see what Paul writes concerning the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. Now, let's understand this, too. This is why there is repentance from sin and baptism, so that we receive the Holy Spirit of God. And that combines with the Spirit of man that we have. So let's read what Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in verse 9. But according as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. If you don't really love God, you won't know what he's preparing. You ever think on that? That's why loving God is also keeping his commandments. Let's go forward here, verse 10. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. That's how we understand the Bible. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And so we're going to search the Scriptures and see some of the deep things of God concerning procreation and creating of all human life after Adam and Eve. Now then, verse 11 is a key. For who among men understands the things of man except by the Spirit of man which is in him, which Elihu said, made him, which Elihu said, gives him understanding? So every human being, man and woman, and we will see from the time of conception, has the Spirit of man. And there can be no life without the Spirit, because the body is dead without the Spirit. Now, let's come back here to Zechariah chapter 12, in verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, thus says the Lord, who stretched forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Now, God gave it, and it forms, and it records everything that we are, everything that we think, everything that we have done. So it gives us intellect, it gives us memory. It is something that can be programmed by what we do and what we think. Now, none of the other animals that God created has that. This is a fantastic thing. Now, let's see how God substantiates this even more. Isaiah 42 and verse 5. Thus says the Lord God, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, spreading forth the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. Every human being has the spirit of man, and that's what makes them human, in addition to how God created them. So this is quite a fantastic thing. God gives this to everyone. And the spirit is there until you die. And when you die, your spirit goes back to God. Now let's come here to Psalm 139. Let's see that God is actively involved in every new life. Let's pick it up here in verse 14. I will praise you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Your works are marvelous, my soul knows very well. Now back to verse 13. For you have possessed my reins, God actively involved in creating him. You have knit me together in my mother's womb. Isn't that something? Now notice how involved God is in new human life, and this will give you an understanding as to why abortion is murder. Verse 16, your eyes did see my substance, yet being unformed. Now that's a very interesting statement, isn't it there? Because right at conception, and just a little after that, the scientific name is substance. There it is. Going back how many thousands of years? Your eyes did see my substance yet being unformed, and in your book, today that's called the genome, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. Now think of that. That was done by the genes and chromosomes. But the genes and chromosomes separately cannot produce life. It takes something else. So then he says, verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Now, with this being said, let's come back to Jeremiah, the first chapter. Now we know today that in order for procreation to take place, there must be the contribution by the father called sperm. And when the sperm impregnates the ovum, there is new life and new conception. And we will see that that is also scientifically verified. Now, the spirit of man is such that it's invisible. Men cannot see it. But God can. Now, let's look here to Jeremiah, the first chapter, verse 5. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. What does this mean? Scientifically, it means this. The instant God would know Jeremiah is when the sperm and the ovum met, conception took place, and God knew him. The genes from the father and the genes from the mother. 23 from the father, 23 from the mother, combined so that all human beings have 46 genes. Then he says, and before you came forth out of the womb, that is when he was born, I consecrated you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Now let's see an astounding statement in Psalm 119. Because through the process of the genes and chromosomes, all of his members written in the book, same with every human being, and we will see what happens when that conception takes place. When it takes place, notice this, verse 73, Psalm 119, your hands have made me and formed me. Now, how does God do that? Well, you go back to Adam and Eve. The genes and chromosomes that he put in there, and they were a great diversity so that there would be all the different kinds of people that we have. God made every gene and chromosome in Adam and in Eve. And when conception took place for Cain and Abel, then they grew and formed in the womb, but it was the action of God from his hand when he made Adam and Eve, and it's carried on through the process of all my members are written in a book, the genome. Now, when the sperm impregnates the ovum, that is when God gives the spirit of man, because it could not continue living without the spirit of man. Every human being has the spirit of man. So God is involved. Now, what does it take to create a new human being in the womb? One, mother. Two, father. Sperm, ovum. The father begets, the mother conceives, and God gives life with the spirit of man. Like Elihu said, your spirit has made me. There has to be that spirit of man in order for there to be life. And then everything is continuously fashioned. And you are with the spirit of man, a human being from the very first instant of your conception. Now, scientifically, they're able to measure the power of God's Spirit. They can't see it, but they can measure it. Now, we're going to see that it takes three to create a new human being in the womb. Number one, the father. Number two, the mother. Number three, God with the spirit of man. All combined together, this makes each individual unique. God is so great, and with everything that he has done with the human inheritance, there are no two individuals alike in the world, not even identical twins. So when conception takes place, a miracle occurs. Now, in his book, Young Again, by John Thomas, he describes the bioelectrical spirit event that takes place at conception. And this is why human beings are special, because we're formed in the womb by the hand of God, which goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And he gives us life with the spirit of man. So at conception, the Bible proves, and science we will read knows and proves, that conception is the instant when life begins. And when the conception takes place, everything that you will become, through the spirit of man, the genes from your father and the genes from your mother. Everything that you will become is there, right at that instant of conception, even though it is just a speck of dust that cannot be seen with the naked eye. And that's how all of us began, and God is involved. Now you know why abortion is murder. So let's read what John Thomas wrote. Human sperm makes the long trip into the woman's fallopian tubes to fertilize the ovum with power generated by the mitochondria. When the sperm fertilizes the egg or ovum, the electrical discharge of 480,000 volts of electricity comes from both the sperm and the ovum. Both are energy bodies, one huge, the other is minuscule. That electrical discharge is actually the Spirit of God. Let's read on. The electrical discharge of the ovum generates only 0.19 volts. The discharge from the sperm is 25,263,157 times greater than that of the ovum. A huge difference. There is a massive difference in the physical size between sperm and ovum. The volume of the ovum is 1,760,000 to the third power microns. The sperm is 21 to the third power microns. When we divide the size of the ovum by the size of the sperm, we find that the egg is 83,809 times greater. These differences in physical size and electrical potential generate the release of 180,000 volts called bioelectric lightning. Now, this is actually the spirit of man. It can't be seen, but it can be measured. Now, how do we know this is true? When someone is in a coma, they measure heartbeat and brain waves. As long as the spirit of man is in the brain, there are brain waves. When the spirit of man leaves, death ensues, and it is a flat line. So man can measure it, but he can't see it. You can't see electricity. You can only see the effects. Now he continues. The electrical discharge coagulates and seals the ovum's outer surface, preventing penetration by other sperm. This massive electrical event is the beginning of a new life. And unless that is there, which is the spirit of man, there is no new life. So it is true. Going clear back to Adam, when God formed the genes and chromosomes in Adam and in Eve, breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, they became physical beings with the spirit of man in each of them. Then, when they conceived children, what we just read to you occurred. And so, since God formed the original genes, which are diverse to cover all humankind, the potential within their genes, every single human is formed by God, by His hand, through the chromosomes and the genes. Now, this is a fantastic miracle, see? So that's why it is said in the Bible that the spirit of man made me and the hand of God formed me. Now he continues. Death is similar but opposite, the electrical event where the spirit energy exits the body and returns to where it came from. This is how human life is conceived, brought together. Therefore, we have biblical scriptural proof from the Word of God that at conception life begins and God begins to form it, and from science verifying what God has said. Now that is something. Now we have a series From a speck of dust to a son of God, why were you born? We will soon have it in book form. So you go right on Church at Home and go through that series. Also write for our book, Lord, What Should I Do? Also write for our baptism book as well. We send them all free. We don't charge anyone anything. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, until next time.